B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Talking about the game is no game.
You were listening. You were enjoying the talk.
Toucher and Rich.
That's wordplay, my friends.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hoots with another offensive board. Kick out to White, and he sticks it. Danny, you call the second chance opportunities for the Bulls.
Killing us right now. I mean, it's opening up the three-point line off of the offensive rebounds, but was that not a foul on Romy when he went to the basket on that play?
I'm not supposed to comment. I got a memo from Mike Zarin. I'm not supposed to comment when you talk about the officials.
Five of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. And that is broadcaster extraordinaire Danny Ainge, who was sitting beside Mr. Brian Scalabrine for a full four quarters. And it sounded like he truly enjoyed it at the end of it, where he said, did you have fun? And he goes, no, not at all. Danny Ainge, would you like to enlighten us on what you were feeling during that broadcast, Danny?
Well, first of all, I felt like, you know, I'm broadcasting a game in a straitjacket and with handcuffs on and what I can and can't say, being an executive of the team. But second of all, just we didn't play very well, and that's why it wasn't much fun.
Was there a moment where words almost came out of your mouth and then you just saw dollar signs like leaving your pocket, like I could potentially get ridiculous fines for what I'm about to say?
No, I mean, yeah, there's thoughts that came in, but I didn't like start to say something. But there, you know, there's things that I would like to say that I can't say, and it's not as much fun as at my TNT days where I could say whatever I wanted.
Yeah, you had no problem pissing off players. Like when you're a broadcaster and you're on the other side of it, you know, did you ever have any of the players come up to you afterwards? Because you were extremely critical of a lot of these guys, and you weren't far removed from even, you know, being, you know, their peers. Did anyone ever get in your face for something that you said during the broadcast?
No, I did hear things occasionally from an organization or the, a leader of an organization that, you know, I don't remember specifics, but yeah, there's occasional, but not much.
So like somebody from the organization, like, you know, the president of basketball operations, I might say, would say, why are you insulting our players this way?
Yeah, I think I heard a couple of times over a four-year period of that. But it, like I said, it wasn't any big deals and there wasn't any anger. It was just, you know, I think that somebody, maybe an agent or probably put him up to, hey, do you know Danny? Could you call Danny and tell him? You know, like, that might hurt my client. And, you know, I would usually respond, well, tell him to play better then.
My question, Danny, and it seems very unusual that a team executive would jump on a local broadcast. Has that ever happened other than yourself in the NBA?
I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen it, but I honestly would not know that the answer to that.
After one quarter, did you say, do I really have to do this for...
Go ahead, Danny.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, this came up as a last-minute thing. I mean, a couple days before, they said, hey, like, Mike's not going to make it to the game tonight. You want to fill in for Scal? And I thought about it and said, I probably shouldn't not do that. And then I said, oh, what the heck? Sounds like fun. I like Scal.
What specifically did they tell you you could not say?
Well, nobody really told me anything different than I could not say. I mean, Mike Zarin tried to, like, give me a whole long list of things, but I was just like, nah, I'm not listening. I don't want to hear it. But I know I can't, you know, there's tampering rules. I can't say publicly things. Even on this show, like, I can't say thing. Oh, like, I really like this player on another team a lot.
Which player?
You know, like.
Let's have some fun.
Phoenix is in town tonight, Danny.
Let's write some checks, Danny. Come on. What do you got?
I don't know, but, like, you guys keep asking me questions, I'm going to develop a tick.
Well, then you'll start writing commercials, you know? We could have you in a Chipotle commercial, Danny. Yeah. I know you got it in you.
I know.
What do you think of Rich's tick?
Yeah.
Was that an actual question, Jay?
That was an actual question.
Okay.
I'm glad you were listening to the show, Danny. It was great. So now you guys are, and I think we asked you this when you were on the last time, it just doesn't seem like you'll ever get the full crew on the floor at the same time. And these last couple of days, it's been really bad for you guys.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, we're getting so close to getting Evan back, and then you know, we have the Rob injury and now the Jalen injury. We got the sickness of Marcus and Kemba. So yeah, it just seems like that this year it's been that way. The good news is that nothing is significant. They're all things that, you know, there is a light that they're going to be back, and you just hope something else doesn't happen. But I do see a light where everybody will be back and be healthy. I just hope it's enough time to get acclimated and familiar with one another and have a chance to play our best basketball in the playoffs and win enough games to get a decent seeding.
It's been obviously an odd season, and I read an article about how Jason Tatum has been speaking to Fournier about how to handle the return from COVID. I mean, you know, Jason Tatum, you know, we've kind of seen his journey. We've seen how his gameplay has steadily gotten better, and how much it did affect him when he came back. It affects some players more than others. But now that the vaccinations are available to everyone, we talked to you a couple weeks ago when it was not, has the team gotten vaccinated yet? And is there a plan to if they have not yet?
Yeah. The team has been vaccinated. The people that chose to. We've had a few people on staff that didn't want to, and a few players that didn't want to. But yes, they have had that opportunity.
Do you know the reasoning for the players who didn't want to get vaccinated? Did they inform you why they didn't want to do it?
Yes, they did.
Okay.
But I will not be able to share that with you.
Well, how different are the rules?
But since they're anonymous, well, you know, I mean, it's an interesting reason why. I don't think anyone's going to criticize them, but what's the reasoning for it?
They all have different reasons as to why they didn't want to get it. Some didn't feel like we have enough information. Some feel like that they just don't do any vaccinations. They don't do flu shots. They don't believe in putting the poison in their bodies, and they just don't feel comfortable doing it. And, you know, the same person doesn't really take, you know, anti-inflammatories or aspirin or anything either. Like, that's just how he is.
So is it just one player, or how many players are not getting the vaccine?
Yeah, I'm not even certain on how many. I didn't talk to all of them, but I think that, you know, we have to get a certain amount of, you know, by NBA regulations to have a few of the protocols, and we get some breaks and some freedom if we get more people to get the vaccines. So we haven't been able to get those numbers to get the breaks that we would like, but you know, like, for example, with the players have to test every day, and a point-of-care test, with, and then they have to wait 30 or 40 minutes to get the results before they can go down on the court. And the players that have been vaccinated don't have to do that. So we had one player that, after they got back from the road trip, they said, you know what, I'm kind of tired of this point-of-care testing, so I think I will get vaccinated. So I had a change of mind. Maybe there will be others. But we can't force them, and everybody has their own beliefs and this process, and we'll just I'm not sure it's going to make that much difference.
How does that work, Danny? You said that a certain percentage of the team has to be vaccinated for you to get the team to get certain, I don't want to say privileges, but certain restrictions removed. What are the restrictions that are removed, and what percentage of the team has to get vaccinated?
Yeah, you know what? I don't really want to get into all of them because they're really complicated, and I don't really know them off the top of my head. I'd have to read the whole memo. But, I mean, as an example of one thing, less masking during practice or during workouts on the court.
Okay. All right.
And like I just said, less testing.
And what percentage of the team has to be vaccinated for you guys to be able to remove those restrictions?
85%.
Wow, and the Celtics have not reached 85%, and that's staff and players, I take it?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Do you are the Celtics alone in that? Have most of the teams gotten to the point where they are past that 85%, or are the Celtics an outlier?
No, I don't think the Celtics are an outlier. There's a lot of teams that have had much, much less success of getting people vaccinated. I think it's just part of our society. I mean, we have a lot of people that are choosing to get vaccinated. Many. And, you know, everybody probably has different reasons, but there's a lot of fear out there about the vaccines.
Okay. Now, speaking of that, how's Evan Fournier doing? I know that it looks like he's more than likely on the mend, but what are you hearing about his return?
Evan is doing well. He was in the facility working out yesterday, so we'll, you know, hopefully, you know, he'll be in again today and get a lot of work in and hopefully play maybe this weekend. We're hopeful, but we don't have a time for sure. A lot of it's going to be how he responds, but he's through protocols and he's just getting himself back in shape.
We talked already about the problems with getting all of your players on the floor, and Brad has said more than once in the last month he prioritizes health over where you guys finish in the standings. But I'm wondering what you think about having to wind up in the play-in tournament. You guys are sixth now. It's one spot above that. Is there a preference to stay out of that, or is it just let's get everybody healthy and let's worry about a possible play-in tournament when you get there?
Oh, no. Like, nobody wants to be in the play-in tournament. We'd all like to, you know, be solidified in a playoff seating, but it doesn't do much good if you're in a playoff series and you're not healthy. So, obviously, the health of the players always over, you know, trump the seedings, but I think that we're, you know, getting close. I'm still hopeful. I know I've said this every week for the last 3 months, that we're looks like we're getting close to being healthy, but it really does. I think Rob is not too far away, and Evan is very close, like I said, and, you know, and I think that the other guys' sickness is not going to last longer than another day or two, so I think we're getting very close.
Hey, Danny, you just signed Jabari Parker. Obviously, we know about his past at Duke and one of the top picks in the draft. You've probably been scouting him for years. He became available. He's now a Celtic. What are your thoughts on his play? And was it a two-year deal? Could he be back next year as well?
Yeah, Jabari, you know, we're excited to have him. He can give us a scoring punch off the bench. He's a great kid, and he's still only 26 years old, and so we're hoping that we can, you know, do with Jabari a little bit like we did with Evan Turner, who was the number two pick in the draft and started his career out well, and was without a place, really, and came into the Celtics and played very well for us and got himself a big contract with Portland Trailblazers. So we're hoping we can help Jabari, and he can help us.
What's going on with Jalen's shoulder? What's the prognosis on that right now?
Yeah, I don't know for sure. You know, it looked like it was better yesterday, but it was just sore. I could see it during the broadcast the other night that his shoulder was bothering him, and he made a move, and he's not sure if it's just if he got hit or both, hit or just stretched it out, but he'll be all right. in the next few days, is my opinion. I'm not sure when exactly, but it was still sore yesterday. Hopefully he's feeling better today.
So much of watching Jason Tatum play is watching him evolve into, I don't know what you want to call it, the true number one, the leader, the way the offense flows through him. But it seems in the last couple of weeks, he's really gotten everybody else involved. He's become much less of a shooter and more of a facilitator. Is that kind of the next step he needs in the evolution of him as a player?
I think so. I think that, Jason has seen a lot of different defenses this year, and he's had some unbelievable games and so many amazing performances lately. But he's had amazing performances for the past 4 years. So I think that the evolution is knowing exactly when to be that scorer and when to be that facilitator, and just getting more consistent at delivering when he wants to be a scorer and a facilitator. But you see a little bit of everything inside Jason's game, and I'm also I'm really proud of how he's really taken some defensive responsibilities. He's always been very conscientious of his role, but he's doing a little bit of everything, not just offense, but he's playing defense, he's rebounding the ball. His game is getting very impressive.
Danny, if you had to estimate, how many people have you told that you shot a 69 at Pebble Beach over the past 2 weeks?
I think I just told you guys.
Oh, that's a lie!
I would tell everybody. No, I would hold up a sign with lights if I shot a 69 at Pebble Beach.
Danny, we work in the same station that you ended up being on the golf show this past weekend, weren't you? Didn't you come back on the station to talk about it?
Yeah, but because I told you guys, because I told you guys I got a phone call, then I had to go do another show on the Pebble.
Oh, so it turned out to be a pain in the ass. Sorry, we're sorry.
Yeah. So then you guys give me more trouble and give me more work.
Yeah. Listen, Danny, I'm not faulting you. I mean, if I got a 69 at Pebble Beach, I'd probably
hire Skywriters. Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, I'd wear a big sign around my neck like Flavor Flav everywhere I went. That's with my scorecard on it. No, there's no shame in doing that. I just want to know how many people that you just kind of slid it into a conversation outside of course, our very intimate discussion that we have just between us girls.
No. I honestly don't. The guy that I beat, the guys I was playing with, they all know. And, so every now and then I give a little jab because I've been milking it for the last, 4 or 5 months. So, yeah, I'll sneak it in a little text chain periodically, but that's about it.
Oh, very nice. All right. Well, if you haven't framed that thing, where's the scorecard now? Right. You're keeping that in a special place, right?
Yeah, I think I have it in my golf bag, yeah.
Yeah, you think, yeah. It's just at the bottom of a bunch of crap, I'm sure. I'm sure that that's not something that you, it's in a safety deposit box
somewhere.
You
laminate that is what you do.
You put that thing in, you frame that sucker right now. All right, well, Danny Ainge, good stuff. This Phoenix game is going to be, this is the measuring stick. We've been waiting for this, as well as the team has been playing despite the game the other night. This is the one where you find out just how much this team has improved. And how much Tatum has improved, because he has. How much he's playing downhill now, because he has. How much he's getting to the line, which he has. And that all seems to have changed, but this is going to be the one that I think a lot of people want to watch. Danny, appreciate you coming on with us. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, guys. Talk to you next week.
See you later.
We'll see you, man. You too. All right, we got Jake DeBrusk will be on with us in just a few minutes.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Toucher and Rich.
I just want you to go, and like, oh yeah.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ah! Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich, and we just got off with... By the way, Jake DeBrusk will be on in about less than 10 minutes. Danny just got off the phone with us, and we were talking about, you know, how the team ended up having vaccinations. I guess it sounds like all of them were offered it. I don't know if it was at the facility or not. He didn't clarify. But there's this rule that was kind of whispered about. I don't think it's been fully reported until Danny told us. But apparently, if... He said 85% of the players and staff get vaccinated, then each team will individually be able to lower some restrictions that they have, such as practicing with masks on. I'm sure masks around the facility as well, the getting tested.
Just a gigantic pain in the butt for teams to go through every day. It's like an extra thing that you have to take care of. If you can remove that, everyone, I got to believe life becomes a lot easier for everybody.
Yeah, but the one thing I was thinking about, and this is kind of where my mind went with this, is that, you know, if everyone, like, I hope they didn't get the Moderna one. Like, I hope that they either got the Johnson, well, the Johnson can't get anymore right now for the time being. Because apparently, if that's the case, look at your calendar and find out whether it's going to be right near the beginning of the playoffs that apparently 85% of the team is going to get their ass kicked for a day. And you hope that, because the day after the Moderna one, from what I hear, is just, and that's the one that I got the first dose
I'm going to find out too, Rich. You and me both.
I heard it sucks.
I know. I'm thinking my second one. When is yours? Yours is coming up, right?
Yeah, it's a week from tomorrow.
Okay.
So it's the next Friday is
when my second one
comes up.
Mine is May 11th, and it's a Tuesday, so I'm betting I'm not going to be here on the 12th.
You guys got Moderna and had effects?
No, we're saying
the second one.
Okay, yeah.
The second one, when you get it, it kicks your ass.
I got one Pfizer. I got another one coming.
Okay, yeah. Pfizer, apparently, you're good to go. Like, Pfizer, there's just a little bit of... It's nothing too crazy.
Yeah, Moderna, Rich and I are in big trouble.
Yeah, sucker
punch. Second day, yes.
So, I'm wondering, I mean, if they got the Moderna one, whether just you're going to have an entire team that feels like they got the flu. You know,
I'm being serious. My arm has been tender. Like, maybe they're worried about that with their shooting. I don't know. Maybe they don't want to worry about playing and having an effect for 3 days. Why do this during the season? Why during the season? I get it. We all want to be safe, but this could affect some of how they play. And I know it's their health, but hey, you stick a needle in the arm, it could do something to you. Could keep you out. Could keep you out of the playoffs.
Joe, if you want to compare the two, here's what I would say: would you rather have that day where you get your ass kicked and your arm be a little sore, or would you rather be out like Evan Fournier was for the last 2 weeks and have to deal with what Tatum was dealing with when he came back?
Good point.
So to me, I would just think that would be a listen. Everyone's got their own reasons, and the reasons that he came out there with, they sound like they're deep-seated reasons for not doing it. I mean, there's a lot of trust that needs to be gained. I mean, this is something that, you know, in a situation like this, I personally think it's better for everyone, and I personally want to do it, but I understand that there are reasons why there's hesitancy. I wish there wasn't, and I wish we all got it, but I'm not going to sit there and just say, how dare you, you know, after years. They want to wait, it sounds like, a little bit longer to find out that it's safe. I it sucks, but I hate it. But I was just, the one thing place my brain went was, get the calendar out, circle it, and find out what the day after that second shot's going to be, because let's cross your fingers it's an off day, and they're not playing, some sort of
that's the other thing.
Playoff game.
This team has a lot of back-to-backs coming up. I think they have no more than one off day. They have more than one off day in a row, I think twice the rest of the season. Season ends on May 16th.
Okay.
So, I mean, we're about 3 weeks out from there now.
Okay.
So this is, if they just got it.
It's going to fall right there.
You got to make sure you get it done before the end of the regular season.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm getting a bunch of people who are tweeting us. Some feel it, some don't. Some it destroys them. But it's, from everything I'm hearing, it's 24 hours. Like, I think it's 12 hours after you get it.
Yep.
And then it kicks you. It feels like you're hungover. And you have like a flu. And it kicks your ass for like another 12 hours.
I've heard that too.
And then you're pretty much done. So I'm just wondering if... if there's one day where it looks like, you know, the Monstars have stolen their souls or whatever, then maybe we have to take a look and find out what that date is going to be. I should have actually asked Danny if it all lined up that way. All right, Jake DeBrusk, you'll be on with us next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Get you going every day.
I don't care for the sportsman-like talk.
Toucher and Rich.
At least let me live in a fantasy world that for 3 hours you hate each other.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack. Stack, stack, stack it up. 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 Stack, stack, stack it up.
98.5 of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich, and we're chasing Jake DeBrusk, seeing if he's going to come on. It's party in Buffalo, apparently. These Buffalo games are going to be boring. That last one was. Buffalo's not even trying, but, you know, right now the Bruins just need as many points as possible. John, you made a good point. I mean, they are striking distance right now.
It's right there.
And yeah.
We wouldn't have
near
thought
the top,
this,
yep.
We wouldn't have thought this possible 2 weeks ago, but they're right there. And not only are they right there, they're beating the teams in front of them. And they're 3 points. I didn't check this morning, but yesterday they were 3 points behind Pittsburgh. And they play Pittsburgh twice next week, and they got two games in hand on everyone in front of them.
I mean, yep.
This is the way this revamped lineup is kind of turning things around. I mean, Lazar has solidified the fourth line. Riley has been solid as a second D-man pairing. And if and when Brandon Carlo comes back and they're at full strength, this is going to be a very difficult team to play. Not only in a one-game situation where you're battling for top playoff positioning, but in a playoff series. I mean, dealing with the Bruins for seven games, if Rask is going and they have Carlo back, going to be very difficult to beat
and
them.
And just what a miserable, dejected, shameful Buffalo team right now. I mean, they're obviously not playing for anything. It's not just statistically or mathematically that because they're not going to the playoffs. I mean, they weren't hitting. They had no energy. And now I'm sure that, you know, Taylor Hall not being there was probably like the final thing. And they're seeing Taylor Hall on the other side of it. And all of a sudden he's the, you know, the ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, that's the other thing. It's not like you visit your ex-girlfriend once. You see her three times in a week.
Yeah.
And then twice more next week.
Yeah, and it's all worked, and that's the thing, is ever since he's been here, have they lost since they made
no,
that trade?
They're 5-0 since the trade deadline.
And he's been playing very well.
And they got two more games against Buffalo tonight and
tomorrow. Yeah, like, imagine being stuck in Buffalo for 4 days. Like, you know, like, I wonder what the Uber Eats situation is for
DeBrusk.
Imagine
being stuck in Buffalo for months at a time.
And all, but 4 days, woof, against the same team.
This is the year, by the way. This is the year I finally go to a Patriots game in Buffalo. I can't wait to the schedule release.
I can't wait. I've been there. I mean, Fred's been there more recently than I have. Joe, I don't know if you've been up there.
No.
But I was there when I was younger. I went to college out there in western New York State. I was about 2 hours away from Buffalo. I went to school about 2 hours east of Buffalo. So we used to go there a lot to see these games. And the experience, as Fred describes it, is pretty much verbatim to what I saw when I was a kid. You park on someone's lawn. It's like you're walking through a residential neighborhood and then someone dropped a 70,000-seat stadium right in the middle of it.
And right next to it, there's someone drinking beer out of the backside of
a female you wouldn't give a second look to. Yes, that's
right.
Correct.
And then there's someone taking a dump right there in front of you in the parking lot. And,
correct.
And someone jumping through a table that's on fire. There's only two stadiums in the NFL that I've wanted to go to that have been like, oh, I got to go. I've always wanted to go to Green Bay. Just because, you know, that's, you know, history and class. I've always wanted to go to the frozen tundra. And then Buffalo. And last year I wanted to go, and then all this crap started happening. And then now this is the year. This is the year I finally go. Especially now that Buffalo's a good team. Like to me, this just amps up the local natives. You know, this just gets them to, you know, breathe more fire and to slam into more things and break more bones. I'm excited for that. Like, when's that schedule coming out again? Isn't it like
May 12th, 3 weeks from yesterday?
All right. 17-game schedule.
We'll find out. Yes, right. So the Patriots will go 8-9 or 9-8 or 10-7. All you know what? That was there were so many people on social media that were waiting to pounce that I made a mistake yesterday. It was embarrassing.
Well, I mean, listen, it's just, you know, the people who, you know, they it's a sport. It's a national sport. Apparently. Let's kick Wallach in the nuts over and over again.
That's what happens.
By the way, this is going to, the release is going to set up what will be the most expensive ticket in the history of Foxborough. There's no question that when Tom Brady returns, that ticket's going to be more expensive than any playoff game that has been here. Not just because of, obviously, inflation, but, I mean, think about that. And they are coming here, right?
Yes, I'm not wrong in that. Nope, they're coming here.
Okay, they are coming here. He returns to Foxborough. There's no question in my mind, that that will end up being the most expensive ticket in the history of Foxborough. We have a playoff game that would be more expensive than that.
Week two on a Sunday night.
I'm a season ticket holder. I have until June 1st to buy my tickets. I still don't know if I can get into the stadium or not, but like I'm buying them just to go to that game.
And I'll probably be. You're talking about whether they're going to allow like full stands? Is that
what
you're
saying? I don't know. Like, I mean, they want me to pay for my tickets. I don't know if I can go.
Well, the NFL has already said. I mean, Goodell said they're anticipating full stadiums in the fall.
Yeah, Jonathan Kraft obviously is pushing for that.
You're fine. I think you're good.
Yeah. Are you talking about September? God, I hope so.
If we're not out of this by September, we're all in a lot of trouble.
Rich is still
going to be on the island.
Well, that would suck. I kind of want to come back. Like, I mean, I really do. Like, now it's like...
Do you guys think people would buy those tickets, though? That's been one thing I've been thinking about. Like,
buy what tickets?
I mean, I used to sell my Patriots tickets off, and I pick the games I want to go and sell. I mean, I want to go to that Bucks game, obviously. And I could probably get $1,500 a ticket if I really wanted to. And I work post-game anyways, so I could probably go and get a pass anyways, but whatever. Do you think people will buy those tickets this year? I just don't know.
Joe, let me tell you this. If I was a season ticket holder, there's no way I'm going to that Bucks game. I am selling those sons of bitches. You know how much money you're going to get for that? Think about it. That might pay for several of your games.
I'm thinking
that you're
about selling
the
rest
for.
Of them off and just going to that one.
You see, I know it means a lot to a lot of people to go see Tom Brady and to be in the stands and woo, Tom Brady. And you know what? Maybe that's his last time he plays at Foxborough. There's a good chance that's the last time he's going to be playing at Foxborough. It probably is the last time he'll play at Foxborough. I can't think of it. I mean, unless you've got to wait several years and he's going to continue to play. But man, I mean, is it worth, like, what's a ticket going to get? Like, if you're in the lower bowl, like, how much do you think those are going to go for? Like $1,500 for a pair?
I'm going to go for $1,500. Maybe
$1,500 for a pair? You're not going to sell those? You sell those in a heartbeat.
Yeah, the last...
Because you know what happens? After 3.5 hours, you leave the game and you say, I was there, and then it's over. And then you don't have that. I'd rather be sitting at home with $1,500 in my pocket. That's what I would rather do. And I just have a feeling that if I was a season ticket holder, that's what I would do. But then again, I guess I'm not a super fan, and I want to be there just to be in the presence of the building that Tom
I already have
is.
People asking me how much do they want for the tickets. So, all right, cool. Thank you, guys. That worked.
I wouldn't put it past it that there's already people on eBay. As a matter of fact, I'm going to check right now. I bet there's people on eBay already trying to sell their tickets for that game. I guarantee you there are. Let's see, Bucks Patriots. Now, all right, talk amongst yourselves because I want to.
First of all, that's going to be the most anticipated game. I know what I was saying. I was going to mention this. I've heard a rumor that they might try to put that game on Thanksgiving.
Oh man,
that would suck for the media's sake of it. Whereas people are out of town.
Yeah, I can see how they would do that.
But a night game
in the evening on Thanksgiving. Oh yeah, I could see that. Sure, you can. It's whatever it is. It's going to be a prime time game. That's not a 1 o'clock Sunday or 4 o'clock Sunday deal.
It is arguably, I can't think of a bigger matchup this entire season than that one.
I would want to be in the building. I wouldn't want to sell those tickets. I would want to be there. Be there for history? I would want to be there.
You're crazy.
No, I'm not.
There
are very few games. Think about all the games you go to, especially if you're a season ticket holder. All the games you go to, all the times you've tailgated, all the season ticket holders for however long, Gillette's 2002, right? So 20 years of going to Gillette Stadium and all the great games you've seen. You've seen AFC Championship games. You've seen, you know, great come from high. You saw the undefeated team. This one is one that you point towards and go, I want to be there for that. And if you skip it and it turns out to be, you sell the tickets. If you have two tickets, you make $3,000 for your two seats in the 200 section. I swear to God, I would be pissed if I missed that game and it turned into one of those classics.
Yeah, and the number of the butt fumbles.
You got to be there for it.
Too, so.
You got to be there for that game. You don't sell those seats.
They're going to be cheering louder for the Bucks than they are for the Patriots. I guarantee you.
And yeah, just for the atmosphere, the whole thing around it, the defending Super Bowl champions, your quarterback is bad. I wouldn't sell those seats.
Dude, you're a grown
you
man.
You go.
You know, if you're bringing a kid and you're like, all right, well, this is the one time you'll get to see Tom Brady. You know,
no,
that's different.
You go.
But as a grown man, it's like, all right,
as a grown man, you go. If you're a Patriots fan, you go. You don't sell those seats.
For $2,000, I don't go.
Nope.
I'll sit at home.
Was
that
Jake
DeBrusque? Was that DeBrusque who just called on the hotline, Dan, a second ago?
I don't
Nick
think so.
No,
okay.
No,
Dan
I did.
So.
I did sell those Falcons.
It was a marketing call and wanted to know your transmission is out of warranty.
Oh, they still got those, huh?
There you go.
Yeah. What were you saying? You sold your Falcons?
I said, when they had the rematch of the Falcons came to New England after the Super Bowl, I ended up getting rid of both 500 piece.
That's fine.
I just didn't want to go to that.
That's fine. That's
I think the Pats blew them out, right?
Yeah, so, they did.
Someone said if you're a true fan of Brady, you'd kill to be at that game, period. I like Brady. I love money. So, sorry.
That's true. I do love money.
I love money, too. But
especially a bankroll boy.
Maybe I'll try to get a press pass from Rick, and then maybe I'll sell the ticket. That'd be cool.
Yeah, right.
How about that?
See,
that's
pretty good. I like where your head's at there. That's pretty good.
All right. Well, Aaron Rodgers is, you know, when I watched his Jeopardy performance, I kind of laughed at it because he seemed fairly snoozy for it. And listen, I'm not going to kill the guy because that of all the games to host seems like it would be one of the most complicated because everything's about the timing. You can't stumble on words. There's a whole different bunch of things that you probably countries you didn't know how to pronounce beforehand that you got to study for before you go on the air. And he just seemed extremely wooden. But there was a person who's a huge Jeopardy fan who said, right now, Aaron Rodgers seems like the front runner. Well, that might be the case because apparently when he hosted, it's the best ratings they've had so far. As a matter of fact, from one week to the next, from when Dr. Oz, the guy who makes gigantic colons that he walks through on his show.
Couldn't have been worse, yes.
All the way to Aaron Rodgers, that was a 14% increase. And people, I guess, love the guy. Now, they just announced the next slate of people who are going to be hosting. Robin Roberts, David Faber. Who's David Faber?
I don't know. Stephanopoulos is in on this too, right?
Okay, so Stephanopoulos is the one that I put $100 on to be the new host of Jeopardy. And I think it was with the Bankroll Boys.
But he's coming on this week. Robin Roberts gets it, then Stephanopoulos gets it.
Okay,
right.
And then David Faber, I don't know who that is. Joe Buck is going to be on there.
Oh, God. Electric personality. Yes.
Joe Buck, he'll do fine. Yeah. And then there was a grassroots campaign to get LeVar Burton of Reading Rainbow fame to do it, and it worked. So LeVar Burton will be hosting as well.
All right.
I will always know him as the guy with the weird eye visor on Star Trek The Next Generation. Will Wheaton, thank you very much. Stand By Me was not your finest work. There is a brand new eating competition that's going to be happening this weekend. Joe Murray, I don't know if you have any odds for this, but Joey Chestnut is involved, so I guarantee he is probably the front runner. It is the World Popcorn Eating Championship, but it's not just popcorn this weekend. They will also be having a soda chugging challenge featuring a gallon of soda.
Oh, that's hard. That's impossible. Oh, God, that's
a gallon of soda.
No, that's no fun.
How many 2 liters is a gallon?
It's probably about two.
I have
maybe
no idea. I was
that?
Told there'd be no math.
You can do that.
I don't know. I don't know the answer.
So you could chug.
Yeah, dude. I'll chug it. Ooh, chug.
It's the first to finish a gallon of soda.
That carbonation isn't fun on the way down.
I can
no.
definitely slam one, but I don't know if I could chug two. Yeah, no. 3.7 liters.
That's hard.
Yeah, no. That's a lot.
Yeah, that is, it's almost it's almost two of those 2 liters there, which would absolutely suck. Ooh. On top of that, they are going to have, I guess there's a dude named Badlands Booker, who is the foremost chugger and actually keeps the record for chugged soda. On top of
Joey
that,
Chestnut, minus 400, popcorn eating. Matt Stoney still in it, too.
All right.
Matt Stoney, is he a big name? I don't
He's
know.
He's a guy who beat Chestnut 1 year at the Coney Island.
Jeff Esper, who I never heard of him. So welcome to the show.
There's an undercard event as well, an egg-eating contest.
Gross.
Hard-boiled eggs.
Gross.
Now, is that one that is just like who can eat it, like a certain amount? Who can eat 50 hard-boiled eggs the fastest?
Yeah, how about just eat like 10 hard-boiled eggs without throwing up?
Oh. Yeah, that sounds absolutely disgusting. And then they go to the Popcorn World Championship. And the way that's going to work is that apparently this guy who is the record holder, that Matt Stoney, he just comes off of eating 255 peeps in 5 minutes. They will be doing an all-you-can-eat competition for 8 minutes featuring plain popcorn. It sounds
like that, this stuff?
That is a diverticulitis special right there. You eat that much popcorn, your colon is getting ripped.
Dude,
take
peeps?
It from a guy who knows.
Gross.
Oh, sounds disgusting. So that's going to be at, only the finest casino. It says Beer Park's open air patio. I thought it was Beer Park Casino. It's at the Paris Casino in Las Vegas.
All right.
And I guess it's going to be on a pay-per-view this Sunday. So there you go, Joe. If you're really looking for something to bet on, fantastic. You can watch guys puke on soda and eggs. The PGA Tour realizes that they have a superstar problem. We talked about the MMA not having any, you know, big names that they can bank on as of late. Well, the PGA says nobody knows who our guys are. So they're offering a $40 million bounty, like bonus money, to stars who essentially engage with their fans and try to be more seen in public. As a matter of fact, it's called the... they're calling it the Player Impact Program, which means that they're going to give money to the 10 players of the year who have the highest Q rating, who had the most Google searches. On top of that, the most interactions on social media. There's no way any of these guys could get in trouble for this because they realize almost everyone on that tour is a total doorknob.
So can I be,
no
can
one
I be
knows
honest
who
with
the
it?
Stars are.
Just give it to Tiger Woods. No one else is going to show up like he will. Tiger Woods going to win. He doesn't even golf. He doesn't even golf till win $40 million on that.
So, like, outside of Tiger Woods, or is there anybody right now who's known as kind of being outspoken and, like, I mean, Bubba Watson, you know,
DeChambeau's everywhere. Who's got a hot girlfriend? Anybody?
Like,
that's probably another one.
Who won the Masters last year?
Dustin Johnson.
Dustin Johnson got a hot girlfriend. Yeah,
so he'll probably
go
in there.
So maybe he will as well. Is that what you're saying? Is your people just going to get clicks?
Yeah, anybody with a hot girlfriend or Tiger Woods.
Well, they need 10 people. So you run out after two. So they need 10 people with personalities to spread out this $40 million. I guarantee these guys make so much money. You're saying it's not even worth
good
it.
Good luck.
Yeah, well, they're trying. They're trying because they need something.
No,
all
right,
John.
I think golf's been entertaining, but whatever.
Yeah.
I thought besides the Masters last year and Dustin Johnson, I think it's been pretty good.
All right.
Whatever.
I don't care
about
it.
Okay. Who came in second at the Masters this year?
No
idea. No clue.
Big was, fan.
Yeah.
No idea. Good question, Dan.
Who won the Masters?
It was the first Asian. Yeah.
There you go. Okay, who came in second?
Hideki Matsuyama.
Matsuyama. That's it. Hideki Matsuyama.
Came in second.
Guy, McGolfer guy?
There you go.
Shoffley.
No, it wasn't Shoffley.
Zalatoris. That guy needs a hamburger.
Another skinny guy.
Zalatoris or whatever.
Zalatoris.
That guy needs a hamburger.
Wake Forest kid, you'd like him.
Yeah. He needs the eating contest.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he does. All right. Well, Joe Murray, thanks a bunch for hanging with
Rich,
us.
Enjoy your day off, Rich.
I will.
Enjoy
my only
day
off I've taken this year. My only day I'm taking off for a long time. So
Joe and I have the captain's chairs tomorrow. Is that right?
John has the captain's chair.
I have the captain's chair.
It's
Joe
the John
will be
Wallach
here.
Show.
Bert Breer, Andrew Raycroft, Cedric Maxwell, and we're going to take care of some family business tomorrow morning, Rich.
Oh, fantastic. All right, guys. Have yourself a great day tomorrow. And Bert Breer, I believe, is in studio, so that'll be worth listening to as well. And sure, a lot of draft talk and everything else. We'll miss you guys. I love you.
We'll see you on Monday.
Later, Rich. All right,
see you on Monday. Everybody have fun. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.